Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Buckle up for another episode of Ghost Facers, a supernatural rewatch podcast. My name is Richard, and sitting shotgun, as always, is my brother in podcasting, Reed.
He doesn't know that I'm really Reed.
I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. You're a dog?
Reed knows it's Reed.
Wait, hold on. I thought you were my dog.
Yes, I am.
Wait a minute, weren't you just watching me in the shower?
No.
God, the peanut butter thing. Oh, no.
Oh, right now it's a problem. Let's get rid of it.
Ghost Facers! We're facing ghosts! We're others, we're not! We're ghosts! Ghost Facers! Stay in the kitchen when the kitchen gets hot! Ghosts! Ghost Facers! We're facing nightmare! We're facing dread! Ghosts! Ghost Facers! We're facing faceless! We're facing dead!
Welcome to Ghost Facers! Today we're discussing Season 6, Episode Number 8. All dogs go to Kevin.
Oh yeah, that's that. There's so many layers of that.
Yeah,
there's a podcast that I used to listen to.
Okay,
just because no one else is in the room when you and I talk about this stuff.
Sure,
there's a podcast that I used to listen to. And the idea was every week they would like pitch ridiculous products or businesses. They were always like ideas to pitch to like Shark Tank or
sure.
Dragon's Den or something like that. And the one guy one week pitched a business called All Dogs Go to Kevin. And the idea was that if your neighbor's dog is annoying, you hire this guy to come and assassinate the dog.
Wasn't that from The Office?
No, it's from Twinnovation. The Twinnovation.
Oh, I thought that was from The Office.
Did they also make an All Dogs Go to Kevin joke?
Yeah, I could have sworn that was like, because after Kevin got fired, that was the other
but
joke.
Was his job to kill dogs?
I thought that's what that was, but
oh,
maybe.
Oh, man.
Maybe I'm just conflating the thing that you, but it does sound like an Office joke.
It does, yeah. At any rate, that's not what the episode's called. It's All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yeah.
Although they really should have made this All Dogs Go to Hell. Like just a little, a little twist. You know, like we'd be like, "Hey, it's all dogs go to." You go, "Hell, ooh, creepy." And then you'd like,
"No, the pro dogs people wouldn't be."
So if anything, like, if anything, we know they go to purgatory
because they're a monster.
Well, some of these dogs,
not hashtag not all dogs.
Yeah, yeah, just a few bad apples.
Just the ones that work for the police. Just- That's the only pro cat thing I've ever heard that was like, you know what, you're not wrong.
Yeah, cats wouldn't work for the fucking cops. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I do love that. We've got a review.
Hey, nice.
From Lucas, who says, while the other podcast, not mentioning any names because Chuck helped me, is great for production and some behind the scenes information regarding your podcast is very casual and goes over so much like lore relating to the episode, ratings for the first watch, and much more. You even have some joke segments like the sandwich segment.
Not a joke. Deathly serious.
Though
how dare you impugn my honor this way?
Though I always believed it got old after the finger food one, which is definitely the best one.
It's up there. That and pulled pork.
You just like that transition.
Oh god, I mean, one of my finest.
That's like the, do you remember that one time I did stand up and I talked about MILF porn and then I said speaking of moms and started talking about my mom?
Yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, that's a that's, I mean, you should have been immediately committed to therapy.
That's up there with White Horse is a weird place to get wine. he continues to say, I love this podcast, and while I don't agree with every single opinion you guys share, I'm sad that I'm almost caught up as I finished season 5 just today. Keep up the amazing work, both of you. Also, hashtag reads wrong.
Guess what? I also don't agree with the opinion
of you.
Of you. Thank you for the review.
Lucas, thank you very much. All right, this episode.
I expect a full retraction.
Oh, yeah.
And revision.
Oh, okay.
So that we made no mistakes.
There's none ever.
Sandwich segment never got old. And it's certainly not a joke segment. As you so callously threw out there.
Yeah, it's much worse than that.
There are no joke segments.
There are no segments. There are no jokes on this podcast.
Yeah.
We are the top TV and film podcast. They're not the best.
You think I don't... You think Vinny the Name Blood wasn't speaking directly through me a few weeks ago?
I wonder if we could flip it next year and, you know, and Dr. DC can get TV and film and we'll get comedy.
Well, we can't get TV and film for Dr. DC, but we could win arts again.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about TV and film.
But that's not what it's like about. It's not. No. But there was a funny moment. We already talked about, we won.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just throwing it out there.
You're listening to award-winning
podcast. If you were thinking of like writing a review that had like a little bit of criticism in there, don't. We won.
Yeah. We're unfallible now.
Yeah. We have papal infallibility now.
international immunity.
We have diplomatic immunity, papal infallibility. Your sandwich segment joke is that we'd institute prima nausea. We'd get first bite.
God, yeah, maybe I do like the sandwich segment.
Can't remember where I was going with this.
This episode aired November 12th, 2010.
What still, was I going to say?
I don't know. Who cares?
No.
If it was,
it's important.
If it was important, you would have remembered.
No, this is... good for the show.
Let's just have dead air.
Yeah.
While you figure
dead it out. Air. Ooh. Grave the fuck.
This episode was written by Adam Glass.
Sure.
And directed.
Thought I had a joke. Didn't.
No. Yeah. Don't throw atoms in a glass.
Yeah. He's all.
A person.
Yeah. He's, look at that. Look at the glass on Adam.
Nice glass.
Yeah.
What a glass hole.
Yeah, face down, glass up. That's the way Adam does this episode.
Writing.
Yeah.
That's the way Adam does written by. Directed by Ophelia the Screech.
Oh, nice. It's like Chris Pratt was in the room.
Hey, nice.
Yeah. Mushroom Kingdom, here we come.
Just doing kind of like
it's
a...
like bare. It's like the faintest whiff of it. It's like somebody sprayed an accent into a room and then walked through it and then recorded dialogue.
It's a bad Bradley Cooper doing
Rocket Raccoon. That's what that is. What it is. That's what Chris Pratt Mario is. Yeah, it's we need someone to record Rocket Raccoon for the toys.
Yeah,
we can't get Bradley.
Here
he won't do
we
it.
Go. Yeah. I'm a raccoon.
This episode was viewed by an estimated 2.09 million viewers.
Oh, shit.
We're fucked.
We're fucked. We're so fucked.
Oh, dude.
I don't think that
Here
was from,
we go.
I don't think that was from this show.
No, wasn't. Let's watch the promo and see if that gives any indication why the number is so low
yeah.
this week.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, special guest appearance by Jared Fogle.
You've been watching too much. You've been listening to too much Dope.
I was listening to it on the way
yeah,
over.
Yeah. That was like the only reason why you would ever make a Jared Fogle reference in 2022.
I mean, that's not a horrible promo.
No.
You know, we're following up on like Crowley, like, I own you, go do this thing. Dean being like, I've done shady stuff, but never like this, you know, like.
Not like this.
I mean, that's not. I mean, yeah. it's not great, but we've seen a lot worse.
Yeah, for this season, it's maybe not the best, but
that promo's fine though.
Yeah, it works. I mean, the music yeah, definitely felt like The Sopranos.
It did feel like The Sopranos theme. You also, God, I'm just my head's in a weird space. You were doing Got Yourself a Gun. Yeah. I knew intellectually that was The Sopranos, but for some reason, I was about to like keep singing it, and all I had was the True Blood theme.
Oh.
Gonna do bad things with you. When you walked in, the air went out. That's all I had. Totally not the same.
Yeah, we're doing a mashup. It's
good. Yeah. Yeah, Sopranos and True Blood.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, international titles.
Tony. I was trying to do Sookie, but Tony. It didn't work.
Oh, Tony.
I'll workshop it. We'll come back next week. This bit will be back. Don't worry.
It'll be still
yeah,
relevant.
Yeah, I'm thinking the bit's back.
Oh, no. Now all I want to do
That's a
is...
new character of mine called John Bit. He just pitches comedy bits. He used to pitch comedy bits. And then somebody killed his dog. And now, I'm thinking the bit's back.
Sorry, this is two levels of bit.
He's John Bit.
Oh my God. Someone called the Gabagool.
Too many jokes. The only person that could cull this many jokes is John Bit.
Oh my God. What is wrong with us? See, we don't record this at night. We got night vibes. All right. So, the title of this episode is from the animated musical comedy All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yeah.
From 1989.
Is that a musical?
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought it was like a cartoon.
Have you not seen it?
No, I don't really care about dogs.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And I don't believe in heaven. Everything about that movie is like, well, this isn't for me. Which truly, even as a child, that was my feeling.
Yeah.
One year when I was like 9... My mare gave me a
dog and I killed.
Very devout. Yeah.
You're like, it's going nowhere.
Well, I killed the dog. I didn't know it was John Bitts.
Oh, no. This is about you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, my mare, very devout Catholic, gave me a book. It was called, like, The Life of Christ or something. And I opened it and immediately, like, looked at my dad, like, do I have to say thank you?
And he's like, do it.
He was like, just... I know. Just fucking. I have a very vivid memory of being like, oh, that's.
Yep. Did you ever get taken to like Sunday school or anything like that?
No, but if my mare was in town, I'd sometimes go to church with her. Our family, not religious at all. No church.
Yeah.
But occasionally, if like she was in town, she would want to go. My dad would drop her off. And once or twice, I'd go with her. Only for like not just on a random Sunday, but if it was like a Christmas mass or something like that, because at least like then there's like there's nice songs, you know, like it's a, there's a little more to it. And I will say, even though I'm not religious at all and I'm super not into that, I do have a slight habit of around Christmas time.
Yeah.
If I'm in like a new city or something, I'll just go to like mass. I'll just go.
What?
I like going.
Why?
I've done it. I did it in France. I did it when I lived in France. I've been to a couple. I sat at a mass at Notre Dame. I sat
what
at one
it?
At Sacré-Cœur. I went in Christmas time down to the Notre Dame in Montreal in Old Town. I don't know, something about it. I used to do it in my hometown. I just go and sit in the back. I listen to the songs. I don't know if it makes me think like I'm in a Christmas carol or something, but like, I don't know. I just like it.
Wow.
It's a very weird little cognitive dissonance thing of mine is that I quite enjoy like holiday mass.
Which
is an insane thing to say as someone who doesn't believe in
any
of
that's
it.
Very weird.
But I really like it. Yeah.
I went to, I mean, I don't mind them when they're like very not like, it's not religious and more about like good ethics and morality.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what these are, but
yeah.
These are definitely about Christ.
You're like, I'm here for the lore.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what it is.
Oh shit. Maybe that's, yeah. The lore is pretty thick at Christmas time. Oh fuck. We just cracked it. Yeah. Holy shit.
All this time.
Man.
Yeah, it's the like theatrics, it's the like the like castle-y sort of vibes and the lore.
Yeah, it is. Huh.
The guy who loves Phantom of the Opera likes to go to theater at Christmas mass. Yeah,
you've really unlocked something here. Well, fuck. Yeah, and they've got like colorful robes.
There is a
theater
it's very
to it.
Lord of the Rings
ritual.
Vibe. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Well, son of a bitch.
This is the turning point.
Yeah, this is the best production of mass I've seen in a while. Did you see the revival?
Yeah, they were really.
You mean
committed.
Easter? Yeah.
Jesus.
Anyway,
we need to move on.
Sorry.
All right. So
yeah, what segment are we in?
International titles.
Oh, see, I'd remember if it was something charismatic like the sandwich segment. A good segment that wasn't a joke.
This is not a joke.
Yeah. And John Bitt would know.
All right. Stop.
It's all good stuff.
So we had two titles.
How did this podcast not win comedy?
Right?
Sorry, go on.
First title is the French title.
Oh. Is it Never Trust a Dog?
No.
Or Never Trust a Street Dog?
No, it is The Pack.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Whatever, that's fucking boring, but sure.
The second title is the Hungarian title.
Oh, this is like The Dog Who Loved Your Mom.
I mean... It's...
Am I close?
No.
Fuck.
No.
Damn it. You paused and I thought I nailed it.
No. I'm just like, there is a... Yeah, I'm not going to... it's joke not worth making.
Wow, that good, huh?
So, the Hungarian title is The Devil's Dog.
Oh.
There is a thread between those two, but I did not want to...
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Give it the old devil, though.
Yeah. I'm thinking this bit's back.
No. John,
people
go
have
away.
Been asking me if this bit is back.
No, we don't like Johns on this podcast.
And I haven't known the answer.
Featured music. Do you have one more joke?
It's not... the content of the joke that offends me so, my son.
Wow. Oh, my God.
It's the person to whom you told it.
You've also been listening to too many Blank Checks episodes.
I've also recently rewatched a bunch of John Wick.
Oh, yeah. There. Okay. That makes sense.
I'm in a real John Wick mood.
Yeah. Yeah. Featured music from this episode is Flirtin' with Disaster by Molly Hatchet.
Okay.
Great band. And TV Guide describes this as... Dean and Sam investigate what appears to be a werewolf killing, but their probe reveals a skinwalker posing as the family dog is responsible. When the skinwalker takes human form, he warns the brothers that an alpha skinwalker is planning a mass murder.
Jesus Christ.
They shoot the skin. No,
it was even crazier when we learned that these are just supplied
by the show.
So fucking dumb.
Yeah, yeah. I hate it. All right, but before we start talking about this actual episode, why don't we open up Dad's Journal and learn about some of the real world lore?
Yeah, let's see what the lore says about skinwalkers.
Yeah, baby.
So, first things first, there's... I went to a few different places to read about this. And a lot of it, even like down to people copy and pasting text, was very clear that people were sharing from site to site. And the thing that I read is that there's not necessarily a ton of understanding about this outside of the culture from which, from whence it comes. Because...
Really?
Because this is from Navajo culture. And there's sort of like a thing of like, why should they have to share this with anyone? It's their, you know, like, you know, if you, for people listening, if you are have any sort of awareness of, you know, indigenous issues or reconciliation or any of those kind of things, there's a sort of ongoing philosophical debate about whether or not, what is the way to revitalize culture? Is it to teach it to everyone, or is it to allow, you know, and the answer is allow like First Nations and that to decide what to do with their culture. If they want to teach people their language or their stories, that's great. And if they don't, that's also fine. And it's, they're not doing a bad, they're just doing what they think is best.
Sure.
And apparently there's a sort of reluctance generally in the Navajo culture to share much of their lore. So what there is just kind of
storytelling
pieced together.
Yeah. We're lore tellers.
Yeah, I'm a lore master.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the class of character I play on Lotro.
Oh my god.
Lore master.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah, I'm a level 136.
Isn't that just master. Called a writer?
No.
Or a historian?
No, I'm like essentially like a wizard, but at any rate.
Those are different things.
They are, but that's why I'm not called a wizard. I'm called a lore master. Anyway, skinwalkers. The lore comes from the Navajo, and it refers to a witch, like a person of like of witchery ways.
Sure,
capable of
those witchy women,
capable of transforming and disguising themselves as an animal. Actually, in fact, technically, women can be skinwalkers because they can be witches.
Sure,
but in general. Skinwalkers are considered to be male. That it tends to be a male thing. So the Navajo word I cannot pronounce.
Animorphs?
Yes. Wow. That's exactly it. So when Visser 3 came to Earth, you like that I just pulled fucking Visser 3 out?
I can't believe that you have
that. Baby, I'm here for it.
Wow.
The Navajo word for it, which I cannot pronounce and I'm worried about trying, it roughly means being able to go on all fours.
Nice.
Jesus Christ.
What did you expect?
I mean, that's funny. Like, again, what am I supposed to say that's not funny? To say nice to the fucking... Anyway, so in the Navajo culture, like witchcraft is like a thing, but there's the idea that like there are good and evil paths to things.
Sure.
And if you're learning and your teachings and that lead you to heal others and be, you know, kind of like witch doctor, you know, like more like a medicine man, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then you're taking the good path. And then if they either lead you to harm others or to be selfish and only concerned with yourself, you're taking the evil path. So there is an element that, you know, not all witches are bad, but there's a sort of like bad turn for witches. Navajo witchcraft, like the bad kind, involves like crafting poisons, carving tools from human remains and other, quote, unnatural processes, things that are like desecrations and stuff like that. Becoming a skinwalker apparently also is like another step to that. It's not just everyone who's like a bad witch becomes a skinwalker. It's like a specific skill and you need to do a certain sacrifice to gain the ability.
Oh, okay.
'Cause it's an actual supernatural ability. And so it requires the witch to indulge in extreme evil. And what that means is killing a close family member. And while I don't know a ton necessarily about the Navajo in general, what I've learned about indigenous cultures is like, you know, even their forms of justice, the idea of like exile is like their big punishment.
Yeah.
You know, like it's to be out of the community, right?
Yes.
So to kill someone that close, like not just in your community, like a sibling, or like a close family member, is like super heinous. I mean, it's heinous in a lot of cultures, but it's like, it seems like especially transgressive.
You're saying that they're all about family.
Oh my. We don't have time.
Navajo, oh my God.
But once they do that, then they gain supernatural ability and they can turn into animals.
You can have any kind of corn you want as long as it's maize.
I don't know, man.
Is that offensive?
I think it might be. I appreciate the extreme reach of that joke.
I was trying to come up with the least offensive version of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you did.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Was it
worth it? But at what cost?
That joke is such an insane stretch.
But it kind of works.
I kind of like it.
Yeah!
Anyway.
Continue.
You could turn into like a wolf or a coyote or a bear or a fox or an owl, a bunch of things. But typically a skinwalker would turn into like a predatory animal.
Sure.
And they, interestingly, they could transform into different animals. You weren't like stuck always transforming into one, which is kind of different from what we see in the take we see in this episode. You could do that. In human form, they would also like wear the skin of the animal that they transform into, or the one they most transform into, or whatever.
Cool.
Hence the name Skinwalker. Apparently, and I'm saying apparently a lot because I truly don't know. I'm going by the internet.
But don't you always, not always, what you...
Yeah, but I'm more sensitive about it. I don't give a shit with, like, what are the Greeks going to say to me?
Sure, yeah.
Who gives a shit? You hear me, Greece?
I'm a feta upper with this Italian accent.
Yeah, get Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
hey, I'm Italian. In Navajo culture, here we go. In Navajo culture, it's taboo to wear the fur of predatory animals. So this is like another indicator of like all these different like transgressions
that.
So the eyes of a skinwalker are important. In a few different ways. Apparently, you can identify a skinwalker in animal form because their eyes remain like human, like they look like human eyes, and vice versa. In human form, their eyes look like animal eyes.
Whoa.
Apparently, if you shine a light in them, they go red and stuff like that. So
look,
you're supposed to be able to tell that way. And also, there's some talk that skinwalkers might have like additional kind of mind control or hypnosis kind of abilities.
God, they always like to throw that in.
And it's by eye contact. Okay. If they make eye contact with you, they can basically like possess you, like puppeteer you around and do that sort of thing. Skinwalkers are known to like peer through windows and scratch doors. I found this thing that I think is dubiously documented. And I don't pay for periodicals, so I couldn't read any of the academic writings about it. But there's this thing called the Navajo Witch Purge, which essentially in the mid to late 1800s, at one point, the Navajo were like forcibly relocated, you know, in what is a super common pattern through colonial history of that sort of thing happening.
Yeah.
And it was said that like their conditions were so poor in that some of them turned to becoming skinwalkers to escape.
Oh, interesting.
When they finally get to go back to their land. I can't remember what it was. It was like there was plague or drought or something like that.
Yeah.
They were finally allowed to go back, or the American government let them go back or something.
Sure.
But the conditions were only a little bit better, and they kind of declined again. And then it basically started this belief that it was because there were skinwalkers about that they were causing failure of, you know, food and water and stuff like that. And so it led to like a couple of dozen, like about 40, like basically like witch trials, but wow. Navajo style. Probably not a great way to say that, but
not even.
But like, essentially, that's what this was, that they thought they were getting rid of the skinwalkers that were kind of plaguing their their land.
Wow.
Yeah. Dubiously documented, as I said, and but yeah, I just thought that that was kind of interesting. You know, this sort of. I wouldn't even want to call it a parallel to Salem because I don't think it is, yeah, but but there is this sort of kind of interesting thing about like how they're seen in their culture and this idea of like, you know, when we talked about werewolves before, we talked about how there were like werewolf trials.
Yeah.
There weren't just witch trials. There were werewolf trials in Europe and stuff like that. And I find that stuff fascinating where the, like we've really latched onto one idea as a thing that's in like their cultural memory, and it's witch trials. It's a real easy thing to be like, you crazy fucks, what were you doing? And then we look at it as like, oh no, like this person was tried for being a werewolf. Like these people were executed because they were skinwalkers.
Yeah.
And I find that stuff really fascinating. So I just, I thought it was worth mentioning on that, but you probably want to look into it more.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Are you saying that the,
that's the only week I'll say that for, otherwise flawless lore mastering.
Deadly serious too.
Yeah, you hear me, Greece? Get fucked. Say whatever I want about fucking Medusa.
More like Medufa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey,
nailed him.
Yeah. Did it.
All right. Well, with that one, we can get into today's episode.
Sure.
Well,
since we're here,
why not? We're beginning with the then. Where we've got sort of reintroduction to werewolves. We've gotten those in the past.
Yeah, baby. I think only in one episode.
Sam banged one and then killed it.
Oh, no, two episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was hot.
She was.
Sorry. I'd let her rip my heart out of my chest.
It.
What do I need it for?
Yeah, wouldn't be the first one.
Oh. Just have flashbacks. Yeah. How could you?
Alice. We've got Soul of Sam.
Oh yeah.
We've got
it's the Summer of Sam, baby.
Yeah, I'm into it. We've got the alphas.
Yeah.
Most notably the vampire.
Hey,
alpha.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I'm an alpha.
Oh my god, I haven't told you this yet.
Is this germane to the episode?
Yeah, to the alpha comment.
Great.
My therapist.
Okay.
Like I had a session a couple days ago.
Right.
Very much just like totally called me a sub.
I mean, yeah. You don't need to be a therapist to get that vibe off you.
It's just like you're not like you know, you're not like the bro-y, like, masculine, like, alpha type.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm like,
and then, yeah, you're not the bro-y alpha masculine type, are you, you little bitch?
Yeah, and I'm like, yes, mommy.
Yeah. You're going to sign up for more sessions, aren't you,
yes,
you little
please.
Fucking cuck.
This is very funny. I called her out there, I was like, are you calling me a sub? And she's like, well.
I mean.
If the shoe fits.
So anyway, I'm double booking sessions with this therapist.
Yeah. And, I think it's going to be good for us.
Yeah. It's really important that these are only Zoom sessions.
And of course, Crowley's in charge now. Not only is he in charge in hell, but he's in charge of the boys.
Yeah. Because otherwise he's going to throw Sammy back in the pit.
Yeah. And we get a very quick, we get a reminder about that. But first, we go to outside of a bar. And a man is on the phone talking with someone about his dog, and he's being a real me about it.
I want to say this guy is like, oh, is he talking about his dog?
Yeah, he's talking about his dog.
Okay,
did he make a poopy? Like,
I thought he was talking about like a kid, but then I was looking at him. I fucked something up.
I was like, it's a dog.
I know, and of course it is. And I just. But I was looking at him. I was like, he seems old to have a kid that would do pee-pees and poo-poos.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy has like strong second wife is 20 years old energy.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But that makes, right.
No, talking
it's
about a dog.
Dogs.
Yeah.
What's the episode called again?
Yeah.
I'll be over here if you need me.
Yeah, thanks. I won't. He's talking to someone about his dog. When suddenly he.
Also, get you do pee-pees, poo-poos?
Yes.
Get fucked.
He's got real dog sub energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly we get a perspective of somebody watching him from the bushes just across from the car.
I don't love this camera thing they do for Skinwalker vision, because it seems really like inconvenient to be a Skinwalker if that's how they see.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of like, we only get like, three frames a second instead of 24.
Yeah,
kind of,
yeah. It's very disorienting.
It's like, just be a person.
But it jumps onto, yeah, just be a person. Suddenly, the man is attacked through his window, which part of me is like, if a dog couldn't do that.
I mean, yes, but also I want to talk about this shot.
Okay.
Because you're in the like POV of
nice.
What we learned. Yeah. I mean, listen, if I know anything, I know POV. You're the POV of this fucking dog. This dog.
What a dog.
And you're going like up towards the car and the windscreen.
Yeah.
And then you go through windshield. It. Whatever. Same thing. I think that's how they say it in Britain.
Yeah.
I'm cultured.
Yeah, okay.
And then when you go through it, it's very clearly like a digital effect. Yes. Of the glass shattering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, this was either like, we don't have time or we fucked up the shot, we have to do it digitally.
Sure.
Right? But then you get a shot from the side of the car, and it's just the driver window, and you see it ripped apart and the blood splatter.
Yeah, thing. Yeah.
Great
yeah.
effect.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we're only seeing the driver window because...
The window's still intact.
Because the window's still... Because the windshield's still intact.
Yeah.
But then the camera pulls back, and you're like almost dead on the side. You can't see the windshield.
Yeah.
But then the camera pulls all the way back, and if you look, the windshield is broken.
So you're like, did break it.
So you did break it. So what happened?
Yeah. So they must.
I have questions. Like it did break, but the shot was fucked.
That we might.
Or
guess.
Like I just.
Or they affected.
Because everything about the setup is we cannot see that the windshield did not get broken. But then when you pull out, you're like, it's definitely broken.
My guess is that they didn't want to break it with the dude inside of it.
Weak.
Come on, can't take a Will Guass.
With the little labor laws.
Can't take a Will Adam Guass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe that's why.
It was a
he
personal
was sensitive
thing.
About
yeah.
it. Yeah. They found an already broken windshield.
You can't break one of my kind.
Every member of the Glass family, upon death, has their ashes superheated and turned into car windshields.
You can't break glass in front of me. The glass, we're a fragile people.
Fragile.
Fragile is the same. He's fine.
No, that's the American pronunciation.
Oh my God.
It's fragile in the rest of the world. I mean, you care if you care about being right, which you keep purporting to, but.
Yeah, I care about being right, but don't care about the English language. So it's just graphic design glyphs for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Holding back something?
No, that's fine.
That's real. There is something real there.
Yeah. We're going to have a good old-fashioned fucking rumble. You can bring your precious geometry and I'll bring grammar, you piece of shit.
Anyways, that's the cold open for this episode.
That made me really angry.
I know. It's one of my favorite buttons of yours to push because it gets you actually mad.
Let's just say, I'm just going to say this. Yeah. It's a good thing I have a soul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, I don't know.
Yeah, you definitely have one.
Yeah, that sure sounded convincing.
Because I don't know. I don't feel anything.
I don't know. Who gives a shit? It doesn't matter. I don't need anything right now.
All
right.
So the boys are at like a barbecue establishment and Crowley approaches.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got a job for the boys.
Yeah.
Dean is very reluctant, though, to listen. And Crowley reminds him that, yeah, he owns Sam. And he even, like, touches him on the hand and, like, creates, like, I don't know what the fuck he does to him.
Because Dean is being, like, get fucked. And Crowley's like, oh, come on. You don't want to do it. Little. And he's like, blah, blah. And then Crowley's like, okay, I feel like you need a stronger reminder. So when he touches Sam, it almost looks like hell
like
is,
portal.
Like, opening
yes.
up in him. And he's like,
that it was.
This isn't, like, a fun tete-a-tete, Dean.
Yeah, like, I'll fuck around, but, like, you're going to do what I say.
So like, just... fucking chill and listen.
Yes. And he reminds them that he can send Sam back to hell anytime he wants. On the other hand, if they play along and manage to get him an alpha, Crowley will give Sam his soul back. And more importantly, not even get him an alpha, but get him an alpha that produces purgatory, because that's the thing that they're
Looking for purgatory for reasons we have not yet discovered.
Yeah, yeah. So, though reluctant to work for Crowley, they don't seem like they have any other choice at this point. He sends Dean and Sam to Buffalo, New York, to investigate what appears to be a werewolf attack.
Can I just say a really weird thing that bugs me?
Okay.
I'm going to say something truly insane here.
Wouldn't be
that
first
I think
time?
Objectively doesn't make sense. But I feel like anytime you set an episode in Buffalo, someone should say, "Go Bills."
Why?
Because I feel like that's all Buffalo has going for it.
They got wings.
I mean, kind of, yeah, but everyone could do them now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel necessarily like they're better in Buffalo. I think everyone could kind of do them.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody should just be like, hey, you see that Bills game? And everyone just go Bills, go Bills. I guess someone should get thrown through a table.
I was
going to
say, like, yeah,
Buffalo
fans aren't known as being, like, chill, so...
Yeah, famously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that.
That's my little weird Buffalo gripe.
If you're from Buffalo...
Why bother to set it in Buffalo if no one's wearing a Bills jersey?
Sure.
Yeah.
If anybody's from Buffalo, let us know what other things it's worth.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Buffalo a bunch. I know what it's worth.
It's worth going for the Bills.
It's worth driving through Buffalo to Orchard Park to go to see the Bills.
Wait, the Bills aren't even in Buffalo?
I mean, Orchard Park is like, that's like, it'd be like saying like Etobicoke to Toronto or something like that. Like,
sure.
It's just, it's there, but it's technically in a different town.
It's greater Buffalo area.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Although
I think they're building a new stadium, and it might be in Buffalo.
Oh, shit.
But that's a few years down the line. But wow. I think they just announced the new stadium thing.
Just so everyone knows, you're a Bills fan.
Yeah, yeah. My wife
into a Bills fan family.
My father-in-law is like a 40-plus year season ticket holder.
Well-known
to
the establishment, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like his name's on the wall.
Yeah, that
kind of shit.
Yeah. So... Dean and Sam argue about having to work for Crowley on the job, but on their way, Sam is determined to prove to Dean that he's still Sam.
Yeah, he's like, well, Crowley has a good line when he's on about them or whatever.
Yeah.
And he says something to the effect that, like, Sam would, like, kill you for a dollar if he wanted a soda.
Yeah.
Like, if he needed a soda badly enough.
Yeah.
And I love the way he phrased it. I fucked it up there, but like that idea is like, even though it's still pretty vague, it's a good distillation of what the show means when it says he doesn't have a soul.
Yeah.
Because Sam still has a personality. It's obviously shifted a bit. Yeah. You know, he can find things funny or serious. He
has a memory.
He's not like a robot. Like, he hasn't gone full like Vulcan.
Yeah.
Right? And he does have a memory, and he has all of this stuff, but it's like the belief in things. He has no capacity for to feel something out or to
no
like,
compassion,
like, no compassion, but also just no stake.
Yes.
Like, he only has an intellectual capacity. He has no emotional well.
Yeah.
There's nothing that makes him just in his gut go, this is the right thing or the wrong thing. In his head, he just goes, but if we did it, we'd win.
Yeah, or
and so you do it.
He achieves whatever sort of like guttural sort of like,
no moral compass. No, just kind of
instinct. Yeah. Not even
but that phrase of Crowley's, I think, has been like maybe the. I know we only just learned it, but I feel like it's a good linchpin. It's pretty vague, and the show's pretty vague about it.
Yeah,
but it's a good way to like in your head be like, that's what's at stake for Sam.
Yeah,
that's the piece that's missing.
100%. And so he's really trying to prove that he is still Sam to Dean in the car ride over.
Yeah, and he says, I still think about Susie, whatever the fuck.
And Dean's like, I mean.
Really, like, biology class, Susie? He's can you blame me? And they're like, yeah. They share a moment thinking about a 15-year-old.
Yeah, and I'm also like, how old?
I mean, when they were kids.
No, I know, but like, how much older is Dean than Sam? I always forget.
2 years.
Okay, it's not.
No, 4 years.
Ooh.
He's four. Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Huh.
Yeah, that's the problem I have there. Yep.
Huh.
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah.
Not great.
Well, fuck.
Yeah. Not great. Dirtbag Dean.
Yep.
So.
Oh, well.
When they arrive, they learn about another attack. So far, both a landlord, Eric Geiselman, and a dock worker.
No, that's a good union guy.
Yeah, okay. Ronald Garrigan have been...
Not a dock worker name.
No. Ronald Garrigan.
It is I, Ronald Garrigan, Ronald, working the docks.
Ronald Garrigan does not wear hand-me-downs.
Yeah. You're not a dock worker. He's a fucking scab, I bet.
Oh, no. Dock worker have been found with their chests rip open and their hearts missing.
Yeah.
In this episode, the Winchesters go by the aliases Holt and Wilson. In the movie Wolfen from 1981, Officer Holt and Wilson investigate killings done by werewolves.
Oh, that's fun.
So that's where that name comes from. Sam then does some research.
Is that the first time that they do like non-music names, or am I just not remembering?
That's a great question. They must have, but
probably.
I don't know.
Never been like Venkman and what, like they've never done like Ghostbuster names or shit like that.
No, I don't know. That's a good question. I actually don't have any information on that.
Right.
Sam does some research though and discovers what the two men have in common, because Sam basically, Dean wakes up and is like, oh,
he's like, you don't sleep. Great. Yeah. Not creepy at all.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And he's like, anyways, I've got research.
I think it makes total sense. The thing I'm about to say is not like a
gripe.
It's not a gripe. I just think it's weird. It makes total sense to be totally prepared all the time. You're a hunter. Who knows what's going to come through the door, whatever. Yeah. But not only is it weird that Dean just fully sleeps in clothes.
Yes.
I mean, fine. Of course, he wouldn't have, like, jammies. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But also, like, he's not under you don't even sleep under a blanket.
Yeah.
He's just like, I need to be able to spring up. So he's just on a perfectly made bed. In fully clothed, and then you just zoom out and you go, and he's done this for like decades.
Yeah,
that's how he sleeps for decades. That's so fucked.
It would be
It's fucked.
That would be very weird though if they like had a shot and he's like tucked in. Like,
I know, and maybe that's part of what's weird about when we see Domestic Dean with him and Lisa. And he's like in bed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a very clearly conscious choice. Yeah.
It makes total sense. It's not a gripe.
It's way too hot to make him
but
like, sleep in his underwear.
It is funny when, for some reason, I just clocked it watching this scene. I was like, man, that's fucking weird.
We're going to have to keep tracking that because there's things that
I
happen.
I think they often sleep on top of the covers. I don't think they often get in
the beds. I think you're not wrong, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, Sam, through the night, has discovered the research that the two men have one thing in common, which is Cal Garrigan.
Yeah.
And if anybody...
Another name that like feels like a writer made up a name.
Yes. Cal Garrigan.
Yeah. Ronald Harrington or whatever the fuck his name was. Yeah.
Also Garrigan. No. We found out that basically anybody who's ever threatened Cal has ended up dead.
Yeah. So, yeah, his landlord and his brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they visit Cal's home and meet with his girlfriend and her son. Yeah. And Cal wakes up hungover.
Smoke show, by the way.
Absolute smoke show.
The mom.
Yeah.
Be clear.
Yeah. Of the three, that's probably the best option. Yeah.
Do you recognize her?
No.
She played...
Oh, she, yes.
She played like the Orion, like pirate queen on Discovery in season 3.
She actually played another role too that's even more relevant to this.
Well, I don't know, more than Star Trek.
So she's actually played a role in the cult werewolf franchise Ginger Snaps.
Oh shit.
Yes, she's Alice.
Oh, interesting.
From Ginger Snaps.
Well, there you go. Also, you know, check out Star Trek Discovery. She plays Osira in season 3.
Yeah, sure, that works. So Cal wakes up and is a real piece of shit, and basically they start interrogating him about his brother and landlord's death.
Yeah.
And he's clearly like a piece of shit regardless.
Oh yeah, because it's like noon and this guy's like, I went out drinking.
I had like four beers.
And Sam right away is like, why are you sweating vodka?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. So they decide that instead they're going to follow him and wait for him to turn into a werewolf. Because they're like, something's up with this dude.
Yeah.
He may just be a piece of shit, but we got to find out.
I do kind of love this because they follow him all night. And they go at one point to just like a business and open this giant garage door, leave it open.
Yes.
And then just party in there. And it's like the sun is coming up. And they're still partying, and Dean is like, I don't think this guy's gonna wolf out.
No, I think he just sucks.
I think he's just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does eventually leave the weird shed.
The like
bar.
Auto body shop?
Yeah.
It's like
know.
A fix it shop.
Yeah. He leaves.
Feels like a front.
And
it's, I mean, it's also like a shop with a pool table in it. So it's like clearly not a business.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Sweet man cave.
I mean, it's not bad.
So suddenly, as he's walking to his car, he gets murdered before acknowledging, right before acknowledging.
His dog, Lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucky. And he's like, Lucky, what are you doing here? And then he gets ripped to shreds. We get a classic Supernatural, like,
yeah,
same blood fashion. Splatter on a white truck. Yeah. Really good. You know, and that's after the boys leave, right? So they don't see it happen.
Exactly.
But the... Okay, again... You could tell you're a dog owner.
Yeah.
You could tell I don't have a good danger sense. You could tell me whether or not this is crazy. I feel like a guy like Cal is not like small. He's like 5'10", something like that, let's say. And he's like a drunk, probably violent piece of shit.
Yeah.
Could a regular dog kill him like that?
I mean,
he couldn't
German
just kick
shepherd?
The shit out of a German shepherd.
Yeah.
I feel like I could kick the shit out of a German shepherd.
There's a reason why German shepherds are...
Which is why when we launch our Patreon...
No.
We'll be testing different things that happen in Supernatural.
Jesus
and one goodness. Of them is whether or not a German shepherd can kill me.
Yeah. There's a reason why they use them as attack dogs.
I mean, I guess, but like, it just felt... I don't know. To me, it just... I know they're playing up the werewolf thing, but we already established that he sees Lucky. It's just funny to me because they're treating it like it's some sort of like giant dire wolf, but it's like it's a little fucking just kick it. It's fine.
No,
he's a violent piece of shit. Like the idea that he couldn't put up any fight. Like it's not even like he crawls into the street before he dies. Like he just fucking dies.
Well, I mean, it dies in the very supernatural way. But yeah, 100% a German Shepherd could take a dude out. Full grown like German Shepherd, 1,000%.
I think I could do it. I think I could kill a German Shepherd.
I mean, I'm sure you could, but one that was trained or with the mind of a human probably could take you.
You find me a German Shepherd with the mind of a human, and I'll kill it on the Patreon.
No.
That's my word, and my word is my bond. Jeez.
Do you know how many pounds of pressure a pit bull has in its jaw?
Yeah.
It's 5,000 pounds.
Well, that's great. Do you know how many pounds of me I have in my body?
Unfortunately, I do. It's not 5,000.
Yeah, but, you know.
Not far. But... So, Cal's murdered by Lucky, who then goes home and has got, like, blood on his mouth and, like, fucking
And
crows.
Just, like, licks the...
Yeah.
Licks the mom.
Yeah. Lucky dog. His name is Lucky.
So fucked.
Same as Lucky.
It's fucked. Yeah, and then she wakes up, and she, like, Cal's not there. She's like, ah, you son of a bitch.
The boys now find out that Cal's done
and
for.
Hang on. We see, like, a bit of their day or whatever, and it's like, the kid has got the flu, and she's home, and the dog brings a chew toy and plays, and... In bed when he wakes her up and goes, you're the only good boyfriend I ever had. It's like, oh man, that's not the dog like watches her take a shower. It's they make this what I assume is a very sweet dog look so fucking creepy. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Dog just got like the full lipstick while watching the shower.
Yeah, the zoom out scene.
She takes off the towel. He's like,
Ruh-roh. I'm a roamer. Rath a roaner?
Yeah.
I'm a Rath and roaner. Right into Rub Run Road. Rhyme Rorty.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
That's the button.
Yeah. But now the boys suspect Mandy, Cal's girlfriend. As
well, yeah, because I mean, why would you suspect a German Shepherd who is not capable of killing a man?
No, okay, all right. So Sam says to
$10 Dean, a month, and I'll fight any animal you fucking want.
Speaking of Venkman.
Anyway.
Speaking of Venkman, yeah. Sam does say to Dean, dogs and cats living together, yes. Mass hysteria.
Yes, that's right.
So there is a Ghostbuster reference, yeah, here.
Yeah, that's right.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Those are the actual line from Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Sam and Dean now interrogate Mandy and her son.
Yeah, yeah. They go to the house and she's walking, yeah, the dog.
Well, no, I think she like opens the door and like.
No, because they see her outside. They've already talked to her once. Yeah, yeah. She's with the dog because she goes to walk the dog and she's like, oh, you got blood on you. Did you kill a bird again? And then she's out talking to a neighbor and then they pull up and she goes like, they're like, can we talk to you? And she's like, why? And they're like, nobody told you. And then they have to like
break the
they
news.
Have to basically go like,
Cal's dead.
And she like, can't believe it, et cetera, et cetera. And then like, and then Dina's like, oh, your son's. Like, were you here all night? And she's like, yeah, I like barely got any sleep. My son has the flu, blah, blah, blah. He goes, is your son here all night? She's like, what? And he's like, can we talk to your son? She's
which
like,
is
what?
Weird because they clearly cut the line. They cut the interview with the son, I think.
Or they never did it.
No, because as they're walking away, they go, well, based on what the son said.
I know, but isn't that just them filling us in on an off-screen thing?
That's what I'm saying, is that like,
but that I guess to me that doesn't mean that they filmed it and cut it. It just means that like
it's just
not in there.
It just feels weird to be like, can we talk to your son? And then it'd be like, well, based on what the son said.
I mean, I agree, because usually on a Supernatural episode
you'd then talk to the
you
son.
You talk to the kid and the kid knows too much. Yeah, you know, yeah, what I mean?
Like, it's just a weird.
I agree. But I think that's probably like as written.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Sam is ready to take her in though.
Yeah, he's just like, well, we'll hand her over to Crowley. And Dean's like, we don't know shit.
Anything.
And he's
yeah.
like, all right, fine, we'll do it your way. It kind of feels like Sam, even though he technically has the intellectual thing, like he doesn't, it feels like something is still missing even from that.
Yeah.
Because even Sam, like should be able to recognize that, like, none of what you have is proof.
Yes.
I think it is the thing of like, well, I just need to get my soul back. So if we can close this case and get to the alpha, then let's do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. He's just trying quickest route.
But it does feel like even intellectual Sam should be like, but if this is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if I don't morally care about her, I will still not get the thing I want. We should make sure.
Sure.
but he doesn't.
No, he could not care less.
He's pretty cold.
So they then go to the scene of Cal's murder and do some research. While yeah. Sam keeps watch on Cal and Mandy's house.
Yeah, and Dean initially doesn't want to let him do that, and he's like, I'm just going to watch.
I'm
not going to fucking kill her. I'm just going to, I'll just watch, trust me. And Dean's like, I don't know, but he does.
Yeah. Although Dean doesn't find anything, Sam sees the family dog.
Just sees, like, a dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get up, yeah. stretch. Fully naked, and then change into like man's clothes yeah. and leave the house.
Yeah.
Lucky is actually played by the actor Andrew Rothenberg, who's probably best known as portraying Jim in season one of The Walking Dead.
Who could forget Jim?
Yeah. Jensen Ackles is a huge fan of both The Walking Dead comics and TV series.
Sure, fair.
So Sam follows him and sees him talk to another man in a park.
Yeah.
When he approaches, though, Lucky smells him and turns back into the dog and yeah. tries to run.
Well, it's a good sequence because at first he runs as a dude.
Yeah.
And he's running, and Sam does the craziest leap over a fence yes. I've ever seen. He doesn't do the hand down, swing your legs over. He leaps up, foot on the top of the fence, and then jumps over.
That's I just feel
which
like,
is like
that just feels Jared is
that's
like,
some men's health yes. bullshit. Yeah, yeah, that's 100%. Like, I've been doing box jumps all week.
Yeah, watch this shit.
Yeah. That's what
I don't
like.
Have a soul.
But there is a good shot of the guy's running, and he like unzips his jacket, and he goes behind one tree when the dog comes out. It's a good little camera move.
It's funny because I'm so used to the shapeshifters.
Yeah, and it's I watch this with closed captions because that's how I just watch everything in my house.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah.
It's fine. Just get over it, you fucking baby. But it keeps saying like bones cracking and stuff.
Yeah.
So like some of the elements of the shifter thing are there.
Just like super fast.
But they're very fast. And like the especially that first shifter episode, it seemed like horrible.
Yeah.
Like that was that first shifter episode is like some of the craziest body horror this show ever does.
It's true.
And this is just like you just hear bones cracking. It's like, I'm a happy doggo. And yes. He just like keeps running.
Not
know?
The same.
But very fast, yeah.
Yeah. But before Sam can catch up to him, Lucky is hit by a car.
Yeah.
And the driver loads him into the back to take him to the animal shelter.
Yeah.
Sam, based on information from Bobby, calls Dean and tells him that they're dealing with a skinwalker.
Yeah.
Posing as a dog.
Yeah. And up to this point, they couldn't figure out like daytime attacks. There's no full moon. Yeah. So, like stuff wasn't adding up about it.
Yeah. And
we sort of learned the internal supernatural lore that they're kind of werewolf adjacent. Silver will still do it, but like it's a different type. It's like a cousin, a different genus.
Sure. Sam and Dean take him from the animal shelter, but it's a weird moment.
It's kind of funny
to do it to a dog. Because
you do it POV, nice. From Lucky.
Yeah.
Looking up out of a cage.
Yeah.
As Sam and Dean walk in, and Dean like
cocks a gun.
Like takes the bullets out of the gun and goes, "This is silver, so don't try anything." And then Sam's like, "You piece of shit, we can do this the easy way or the hard way."
And the dog's like,
"Oh." And he's got a leash and stuff like that. And then if you just imagine, you zoom out and like the person at the front desk comes back and goes, "Oh, one more thing about the dog." Do you see these guys like threatening a dog? Yeah. Like, okay, you think we're not going to shoot you in the fucking...
Yeah, and they're like, "I don't think you're ready for this type of responsibility."
It's just, when you just take a second and think about if you weren't in the dog's POV...
So funny.
It's a really funny scene of them like... Of them, like, good cop, bad cop threatening this dog.
I like the idea that they were, like, looking at the wrong dog. Like,
There's two German shepherds. That would be funny. They do the whole scene, and you're just seeing their backs.
Yes.
And then they go, like, "I don't think this is the one." They turn around and go, "Is it you?" And go,
Yeah,
like, be pretty funny.
I do. Like, or it's, like, the Men in Black, like, his head is, like, human for a second, and then, like, goes back.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Sam and Dean take him from the animal shelter, binding him in rope and silver chains to restrain him.
Yeah, it's like kind of like fancy looking. It almost for a sec looked like the rope had like silver inlay.
Yeah, it does.
Whatever
the
prop is looks very fancy. Yeah. Look like we stole this from curtains at a church.
It turns out that the man was homeless when he was approached and recruited to become a skinwalker.
Yeah, he says he was recruited and they're like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, like a bunch of, I was like on the street. This guy said like one bite and then I'd be strong and fast. I could do anything. All I had to do was like wait for the word." And then they're like, "What?" And he basically explains that there's this plot, like there's 30 or so of them in this town. They've all gone and found families and they're just waiting for the word to turn on the families and
turn them all into
skinwalkers. It goes 30 becomes 150 like that.
Yeah, totally.
And the guys are like, "Well, fuck." Or Dean is like, "This is a problem."
Yeah, because that number is going to keep expanding.
Yeah, and Sam's like, "Great, so we can get the alpha and get my soul back." And Dean's like, "There's kind of a bigger
problem here.
Issue here."
Lucky says that all of these dogs are living with other families, and their plan is to just keep recruiting.
Yeah.
So he tells...
Which is also what the vamps were doing. So, like... You know, the alpha said, like, "We're getting ready for war." And we see, like, it's not just vamps. Like, all monsters are, like, recruiting. Like, that's... Something's not right.
He tells Sam and Dean that there are packs in many towns, but he knows nothing of the alpha skinwalker.
Yeah, because at one point, they're like, "So the alpha's here?" And he's like, "I don't know what you're talking about, but, like, I don't think I work for the big boss, you know?"
Sam and Dean prepare to go after the pack leader. They argue about Sam and killing the leader because Sam's just like, "Don't we need this?" Because Dean goes like,
"Yeah."
He's like, "How are we going to get close enough?" And Dean pulls out a fucking sniper rifle.
Yeah. And Dean's like, "We have to end this." And Sam's like, "But my soul."
And he's like,
"He's like, I'll gladly give up 150 people for that."
But they decide that they're going to work with Lucky. And Lucky is going to lead them to the pack leader.
Yeah.
Sam tells
Dean... They basically play on the fact that Lucky very clearly cares about
his family.
His family's like, do you want to fucking put your jaws around that yeah. little boy's neck and turn him? Like, exactly. help us. Yeah. And the guy's like, fine. They're the only people that have ever been, like, kind to me.
Yeah.
Yes, fine.
Also, I like watching her in the shower.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, really reamy in here. You're so murky.
So Sam tells Dean that he...
Ruckrare. Rice. What? You're going to do what to my rolls?
Oh, yeah, there's like a weird neuter joke. They're like, when Sam Blake is like, oh, it's the dog. It's a skinwalker. He's like, let's just say the dog needs a good neutering.
Yeah.
Like,
all right.
I mean, don't you guys just usually kill monsters?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that seems... Jesus, soulless Sam.
Sam tells Dean that Sam would... double-cross them, to which Dean replies, thanks, Dexter.
He says it so many times. He goes, I would definitely double-cross you.
Yeah.
This guy. He's like, okay.
Thanks, Dexter.
Yeah.
Which is referring to the soulless serial killer in the TV show Dexter. Were you a Dexter fan?
Was he soulless?
Well, no, but like...
Oh, I see. Oh, just... I see. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what a weird angle for that show.
Did you not watch it?
Not really. I don't... It seemed a little cheap.
Oh. The first two seasons are great.
But oh, okay.
The one with John Lithgow as the bad guy.
I like John Lithgow too. For some reason, something about that show, I was like, this seems like an interesting premise done poorly.
It's very good.
And that was just totally from the outside.
The weird part about this, though, is that the big problem is that the lead actor and he has like a sister in the show, but he was adopted by her family.
Right.
In reality, he ended up marrying her.
Okay.
And the like series ends with like him like being in love with his sister, and then they like go off together.
Huh. Yeah, it's weird on that show, but we don't bat an eye at the fucking Flash.
Yeah, that's
basically the exact same scenario.
Huh. Less weird. Yeah.
Yeah, totally less weird.
Huh.
Somehow.
It might be the race thing.
I didn't want to say it,
but it's not bad to say that, because I think that probably...
I think it's bad that makes a difference.
Yes, yes. I think that's
but
what
I think that might be part of what the distance thing is, that like why the audience is more okay with it.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Weird. Anyways, so the leader, we find out the leader kidnapped Mandy and her son.
Yeah, because like, he pulls up, Dean's just going to shoot him, and then he gets Mandy and the kid out of the car. You're like, fuck, these guys are all so goddamn prepared.
Yeah. Threatens to kill them, basically, unless Lucky turns them right now.
Yeah, because all these like murders Lucky's been doing, is like, that's not part of the plan. He's drawing too much heat.
Yeah.
And whoever this other skinwalker, this Roman Reigns looking motherfucker, is like, I told you not to, like...
Yeah.
He's like, now you gotta turn them now while we watch.
Nice.
Nice. Rise.
All the dogs are like,
woof, woof, woof. So at any rate. So they lose the... Dean loses the shot because they go into this warehouse, and that's where this kind of ultimatum is put on Lucky. But Sam is like, plan B, and Dean's like, we have a plan B. And right as like Lucky has to contemplate whether or not he has to do this, Sam just fucking walks in and just cold cocks
it's
three of them.
Crazy.
He gets the pack leader right in the face right away. Guy doesn't even get like a last word.
Yeah.
He cold cocks three of these. And then Dean is in the building with the rifle. He gets a couple more, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, they like go like militia on them.
On this note, and we kind of skipped it earlier, we talked about it before. I like how over the course of the series, we see the guys get better and better.
Yes.
At the job of hunting.
Yeah.
And in this episode in particular, they're very good at being feds.
Yeah.
Like the demeanor.
Way
like,
better.
There's no hiccups.
No.
They're just doing it. Except for the fact that Sam goes so hard at that one cop.
Oh, like, yeah.
He turns up and the guy's like, why are the feds here? And he's like, to clean up whatever you pig dicks are doing.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
Like, Jesus, Sam. Like, holy shit.
It is aggressive.
It's so aggressive for no reason.
Yeah.
He's not just saying like we're specialists or something. He's like, you pieces of shit don't know how to.
I mean,
you wouldn't know a crime scene if it fucked your mom.
Yeah. He's like, we do get a bit of a button on at the very end of this episode that ties to that, but Jesus.
It's just really aggressive.
Yes. Lucky helps Mandy and her son escape.
Yeah.
But he's in the process is shot with a silver bullet after protecting them against
the leader. Like in his arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he still does manage to escape. Lucky in human form. So basically they like he gets away.
There's a big fight. There's a big shootout.
Yeah.
Dean and Sam are fighting, all this kind of stuff. And then him and then Lucky and Roman Reigns kind of meet in the back.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're going to have a fight. And Lucky turns into a dog. And the guy goes, you thought this was going to be a dog fight?
Yeah.
And he just fucking shoots him.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I think that's like how that scene ends. I don't know.
Basically, he's going to like kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to shoot him. He's going to kill him. And then I think Sam
kills.
Just fucking blows him away.
Yeah.
Really graphically.
Yeah. And that's it.
It's pretty cool.
We then cut to the next day.
Yeah.
And Lucky, in human form, goes to visit Mandy and tells her how much he appreciated her kindness.
Yeah, and she's not having it.
And, like, I don't blame her.
I'm Team Mandy on this one. I mean, listen.
It's heartbreaking.
It is, and rightfully so. Like, I get it from, like, I don't get it, but, like, you know, I would rue that. I know where he's coming from. But, like, I'm Team Mandy on this. You just found out that, like, the family pet that's been, like, around your kid and keeps watching you shower for some reason is a dude.
Yeah, and it gave up your parents to Voldemort.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Yeah, my real name, Peter Pettigrew. I've got a case for you, boys. It's in Godric's Hollow.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could only do that back then, let's just say.
Lucky then transforms into a dog and basically does...
Does the littlest hobo walk into the sunset. It's a super Canadian reference, but...
on that road again.
It really is, though.
Yes. Afterwards, 1,000%, that's exactly what it is.
It's so funny.
Fuck, I love that show.
Fucking Littlest Hobo, what a cheap ass show.
Oh yeah.
So bad.
Afterwards, we then get Sam and Dean, and Sam tells Dean that he's been considering the situation, and Dean's right. Without a soul, he's not really Sam anymore.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care about you. I don't care about Lisa and Ben. And Dean's like, is this supposed to make me feel better?
He's like, I've done terrible things. He's like, I killed innocent people last year.
Yeah. But I got the job done, and that's pretty good. And then he goes like, I don't know if I'm worse like this, but I'm definitely different.
Yes.
And I guess I should be the old Sam, because I have a lot of his memories.
Yeah. Dean agrees that they need to find a way to return Sam's soul to him.
Yeah, and he's like, you don't maybe need to be this honest, but I appreciate you not like trying to fucking
he's got
pretend like you're Sam.
He's got big Bartese energy.
Fuck, man. Did you watch it?
No.
Man, because I got thoughts on Bartese. even at the reunion episode, it was like, dig up, you piece of shit. I've never seen anyone so like criminally incapable of holding their tongue. You don't have to say every truth. Any Love is Blind fans out there? I got a lot of thoughts about this season. I also want to hear if people are Team Cole or Team Zenob, because I think there's a lot to unpack there, and there's layers I can't get at. But
I thought we liked the cowboy guy. That's the good guy.
Wait, which cowboy guy?
The guy wears a cowboy hat. I don't know. The one who's like, I don't know. He wears a cowboy hat. He's got a southern accent.
Oh, Matt?
Yeah.
No, that guy's like a whole bundle of rage.
Really?
I feel like he'd go jarhead on a
spouse. Oh, no, not that guy. Not that guy. Not the one that, like, who's got the, like, infidelity issues and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
No. This is like a skinny guy.
The guy that has no personality of his own. He's like, yeah, I'll be Jewish.
Yes,
whatever.
Yes,
I don't give a shit.
Him. Yeah. He seems sweet.
He is. And actually, it wasn't until the reunion episode, and I was like, I actually think I get him now. The way the show is edited, you're like, this guy is like a blank piece of paper. He's like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You color me, throw me in the trash. Yeah. It's fine, whatever.
I mean, I just see myself in him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have more personality. I just like being dominated.
Sure, yeah. Fair.
But
hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Brendan's nice enough. I don't think I think Alexa's kind of mean to him, but I also think he's kind of into it, so it's fine.
Welcome to the Love is Blind segment.
This is our backdoor pilot for... yeah.
Pod is
I mean,
blind,
Bartice I is as close as you get to this season's Shake. Welcome. Like, kind of universally hated, I think.
Back to the pods. The Love is Blind podcast.
Oh, yeah. Pod racers. We only do 10-minute synopses of Love is Blind. Like, real quick, we got to go through them.
So, Bulba.
Yeah.
All right.
Obviously, the best one's Ben Quatineros.
Yeah. All right. That's the end of this episode.
Yeah. So it's time for the fuck you, Samuel Campbell.
God, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Who was the biggest asshole in this episode segment?
This is like not the easiest one.
It's tough. There's a few assholes this episode.
Oh gosh. Because I mean, you want to say Lucky, but Lucky's he's got a tough go.
Lucky does. Bad, but I don't know that he's an
leader.
Asshole.
The pack leader who was like, fucking turn him or I'll kill him.
Pack leader, strong contender.
That's my vote.
I'm going to throw one out there, though, that it's Cal, and it's good that he's dead.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Cal's the worst.
It's Cal. He's going on like 14-hour benders nightly, and they couldn't pay their rent because he's going on 14-hour benders nightly.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, he deserved to get his chest ripped open and his heart eaten.
Yeah.
Probably. I
just
don't
like
know.
You, Alice.
Yeah, why would you do it? Why would you do it?
Okay, what is your review of this episode?
Ooh.
This episode, I'm sure
I
you
forgot
did
about
not.
This segment.
just where the podcasts always go.
Segment. Yeah, what do I think of this episode? It's interesting to have a new monster.
Yeah.
I like that. This episode doesn't hit me as problematic the way like the Bugs one did.
Sure.
But isn't it also weird that there's like almost no Navajo? Like, this is a very specific.
They're trying
it's
to be
not
like,
just Navajo. Like, there's some other nations, but it's like those Pueblo nations. Like, this comes from that.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no reference there. I don't even know that I mean like representation wise, but I just mean like
at least lore wise. Like the Bugs one, they like stumble through trying to.
And I could see why they wouldn't try to do that again. Like, I don't think I know what I want out of that. But what I'm saying is I didn't watch this and go like, well, where the fuck is the Navajo?
Because like, they don't do that with the what's it called?
Maybe it's because they don't make a bad swing. I don't go like, well, you're fucking it up. I just go like Skinwalker, whatever.
Sure, yeah.
So I don't know if it's like a good way through it, but it certainly didn't hit me as like a problem the way the Bugs episode did. So that's great from the first of all. I think the, you know, perpetuating that story of like, what are they like, what is this war, like what are they built to, that's scary. And the idea of these like sleeper cells that you like your best buddy, your pet, like that, good supernatural monsters are like an insidious idea.
Yeah.
And this idea that like your trusted thing, the thing that's like sleeps with your kid, that like you like all this kind of stuff could be like the source of violence or whatever.
Yeah.
Very insidious idea. And so that's pretty good. Pretty scary. And I like the subversion with this particular guy that he's like, no, they're the nice people. Like, I don't care about this plan. They're nice to me. You know, like that's all interesting. I think whatever, we're like learning a bit more about what it means to be soulless. That's fine. It's not, well done. Yeah. I don't think it's, but it's in there. It's fine. I don't think the performances are like strong in this episode.
No,
kind of from anyone.
Yeah,
I even think Jensen's kind of in this episode. He doesn't have a lot to do.
True.
And I do think visually some of the tricks don't work. I hate the like doggo
dog vision.
Is
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that weird shot with the weird effect shot, and the action stuff's good. Like that final shootout is pretty well executed, but in general, I think this episode's just kind of like, bleh.
Yeah, I agree.
I think I'd give this episode like, I think I'd give it like 2.75 all night benders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think the thing that makes this episode bad to me is it's fully illustrating to me that they are not nailing this like monsters are going to war thing.
Because even though we're technically learning more, it's like a snail's pace compared to previous seasons.
It also feels like not at the scale that they're trying to pretend like it is.
Sure, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The offhand thing that's like, yeah, I think it's happening in other towns. Like, there, we'll get like a bigger scale type war thing that happens in like the next season even. That yes. feels like things are at a larger scale.
Totally.
This does not hit that. Like, it feels like we're just getting like one tiny town that it looks like people are like coming together to increase their numbers. But it feels like between that and the vampire one, like I'm like, this doesn't feel threatening at all.
It really does feel like they're spinning their wheels. It feels or like they're stalling for time. Like,
yes.
We only have 14 episodes worth of story.
Yes.
But we have 23 episodes of season.
The fact that like Sam and Dean are basically like just culling this entire like war prep feels like not. Like unthreatening.
Yeah, other than they have to tag on the end, like, makes you think, is this happening in other towns?
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, it's...
But it's like pretty tacked on.
Yes.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
feels it feels so like it's actually not happening. Like,
yes.
They're getting it way before it's actually a threat. And so...
Yeah, I agree.
This episode very specifically illustrates that to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not a threat at all. Whatever these monsters are gathering for, like, it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So that's really the detriment to this episode. I like that actor that plays Lucky. I think he's... He just has a lot of
probably the strongest performance.
Yeah, he's a good actor. I think,
especially that last scene.
I've seen him in stuff. Like, yeah, it's that scene. Like,
he's Jim.
How could I forget? There's that scene alone. His performance made me forget all of the terrible shit that he had done.
That's true. It's a good scene.
And I had to be like, oh, no, this guy is a monster. Like, she's right to not want him in the
house. Oh, come on, you lady. You're getting mad at her.
Yes.
The way people got mad at Skylar White.
Yes. Yes. And I'm like, oh, wait, no.
No, she's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like, I'll still be the dog. Like,
yeah.
You could never. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's heartbreaking because he's unhoused and that's a bad thing. And
yeah, I mean, they do a good job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He
was technically the monster they came to town to hunt, but it turns out he's actually kind of this misunderstood guy. And actually the bigger monster was the thing, like they didn't like what he was doing.
Yes.
You know, like that stuff is good, but the episode is just such like a...
1,000%. It's just like a non-existent episode.
It has
no impact on the entire series. Yeah. It doesn't do anything. Like it just sort of for me illustrated that they're doing a bad job in this season so far.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's
I think
my
so.
Problem. So I'm giving this 2.5 chests open.
With chests wide open.
Under sunlight, I will take you there.
I think that's a different song.
Ruh-roh. All right, with that, we've got a note from a fellow hunter before we go away.
Oh, sure, yeah.
From Gabby, who says, "Hi, guys. I hope you're both doing well." Nope.
Depends what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. It's all like, perspective, I guess.
Like, materially, fine.
Yeah.
But emotionally, whew.
And even materially.
Yeah, actually. I'm off the morphine.
Yeah, you came in today hot about wanting that morphine back.
Chill with that.
Because it's recorded.
Your Honor.
I'm absolutely loving the show so far, but I had a quick question I wanted your thoughts on. So, it's well known that salt wards off demons or keeps them at bay.
Sure.
And it's also well known that we generally have salt in our bodies.
Right.
So my question is, how can a demon possess a human if humans have salt in their systems? Just curious to hear your thoughts. Maybe it's a stupid question, but anyways, have a great day. Looking forward to the next episode.
I mean, well, you're right. There's a you do need to consume a certain amount of salt. Your body does have salt in it.
Yeah.
But our level of like salinity is like lower than salt water.
Oh, really?
That's why you can't drink salt water.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll pull the water out of your body instead of putting...
Sure.
Like, right? If you think of like osmosis, something of high concentration goes to low concentration. Basically, it's saying that like it'll draw the moisture out rather than draw the salt out. You know what I mean? So, that's bad. So you must have less salt proportionally in your body than salt water. Salt water is itself a dilution.
Sure.
So when we see demons react to salt, they're reacting to pure salt, or it's being poured down their throat as pure salt. I think there's like a level of like I think a demon could eat a steak.
Sure.
I think you could put table salt on a steak, and maybe they'd go like, but like they're fine. Our level of like salinization is way below that.
Sure.
I think that's me pretending to be a chemist for a second there. But
if anybody's a real chemist in here, please let us know.
But that's my assessment of that.
Yeah, I think there's probably about it's probably like a cup of salt in your whole body, maybe.
I mean, that even seems high, but yeah, who knows?
Maybe a couple cups even? I don't know.
I don't know. What's in a body anyway?
Yeah. But yeah, again, throughout your whole system. And maybe demons have to fight past that. Maybe that's part of possession.
You know, maybe it just means that possessing someone is always like a little itchy, like a wool sweater.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like maybe it just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But then it's like,
God,
that.
Do I feel bad for the demons now?
Yeah. Man, they've got it rough.
Yeah. But that's a great point, Gabby.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a great, great question.
Right in the lore, baby.
Yeah. Time to go to mass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there's one thing I have, it's mass.
Yeah, you're a real mass hole.
It's funny when I say it. Funny when I say it.
Well, if you want to continue this conversation about salt in the body or about skinwalkers.
Got a pillar of salt for you right here.
Jesus.
Yeah. Don't look back.
Yeah, time to make a burning
That's
bush.
A Shot of a Gomorrah reference for you Bible freaks.
Yeah.
Fans, sorry. Whatever, there is no God.
Burning bush. Yeah. Nice.
Oh, somebody masturbating to me. My bush is burning.
Right.
I was trying to do like my ears
are
burning.
I got you.
Bush is burning.
Anyways, we can have all these chats on our Discord.
Yeah. If you go to patreon.com/ghostfacers, it's only $1 a month.
Cool, man.
Gives you access to Angel Radio. It's our amazing Discord server. We've got an awesome community. They're so lovely, nicer than we are.
Yeah.
Helps to support us.
That's right. Also, if you want to be like Gabby and send us a note about either a past or future episode that's coming up, so maybe you've got some specific insights. Maybe you're a chemist and you know more about salt in the body.
Maybe you're a body saltologist.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yep.
Or maybe you're a dog.
Oh, yeah, you dog.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you send us an email to ghostfacerspodcast@gmail.com or reach out to us throughout all of our social media platforms.
Yeah, at Ghostfacers Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and the short, soon to be defunct Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
God, man. This must be like watching Rome burn. It's incredible.
Was it?
I'm having a great time in the last days of the Republic.
One of the employees of Twitter said that Twitter is like the back end of it is basically a bundle of sticks.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, and just remember, $10 a month, and I'll fight any animal you want.
No,
as long as it has a human mind.
Wait, no, I don't know. No. So, you changed it. That's different.
You said that was part of what made it a formidable opponent, and so I need to disprove that.
Yeah, time to watch Reed take on a chimp.
With a human mind. Yeah. Uh-oh.
I mean, close enough.
Yeah, you're right. I'll fight one.
Yeah, I'd love to see you just get your fucking arms ripped off.
Just see it ripped to pieces. It wears my face around the zoo.
Like, have you seen that fucking episode? Have you seen Nope? Yeah.
Oh, actually, I haven't. Does that happen in Nope?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's bad.
I gotta watch Nope.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe I'll watch that tonight.
It's good.
No, Colin scared to work tomorrow.
Hey, whatever. Do what you want. I'm not there.
Yeah, that was like a fun joke for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring Colin scared. I'll bring that back.
Yeah, scaredy guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I'm thinking this bit's back.
Oh, God. Get out of here, John. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and wherever you get it every single week. So then you can automatically get it in your feed. You don't have to go download it. But
yeah.
Also, it helps us out when you do that.
Yeah, baby.
And while you're there, why don't you give us a 5-star review and we'll read it on a future
episode.
Yeah,
preferably without conditions.
What do you mean?
Like the review we got.
Oh.
Love the show, but.
I like
I don't want to sound
review.
Ungrateful or anything.
Yeah. Time for another joke segment, right?
Yeah, you know what's a joke? Fucking graphic design.
Speaking of graphic design, you can buy our shirts at Ghostbacers Podcast Store.
The best ones are words. The lore horse shirt. The fucking
only made valuable by the graphic design.
By the words themselves.
Someone did make an I'm horny shirt on the Discord. And taking everything in me not to put it up.
Can we make a variant of that that's just a German Shepherd and says Rhyme Rorny? Just to make it even harder for people in public to understand your shirt.
Yeah, and on the back it says I'm thinking I'm back.
Yeah.
Because it's the back of the shirt.
The quote is attributed to John Bitt.
Bitt.
I want a shirt of bewildering inside jokes. Rhyme Rorty on the front. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. John Bitt on the back.
If you want more comedy like this, why don't you listen to our comedy podcast?
Yeah, we are the funniest podcast in Canada. It's the Dr. DC podcast. We talk about DC Comics. We answer listener questions. We talk about the lore.
We also mostly just do dumb shit like this.
I mean, a lot of this.
Yeah.
We talk about the lore of superheroes and all that kind of stuff. If you like how we talk about monsters and stuff over here, you might enjoy how we talk about those fun things over there.
Yeah. That's it for this week. Say goodbye, bitch.
Jerk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.